In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Very Reverend Father, Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.
So this is, it's interesting, we're commemorating two different times in the history of the church, which were kind of strange times. The one is the time between the Ascension and Pentecost. We've already celebrated the Ascension when Christ ascended and left the apostles, but we have not yet celebrated Pentecost. That'll be next week. And so I imagine it was kind of a tense time for the apostles because the Lord was no longer with them. And this prayer that he prayed for them today that we read in the Gospel of John is, in a sense, he's trying to encourage them. This actually happened prior to his death and resurrection, and so he's strengthening him for that, but he's also strengthening him for the time when he would no longer be with them. He mentions that in the prayer, the time is coming and I'll no longer be with them, but instead that they will be the ones who bring glory to his name on the earth. So we have that time. It's interesting, the one way that the priests always know, the clergy always knows that it's this interesting time is we start all the services in two different ways throughout the year for every Sunday except for this one. Either we start with O Heavenly King, which is the prayer to the Holy Spirit, and we'll say that from Pentecost up until Pascha. And so, Heavenly King, Comforter of the Spirit of Truth, whatever present and fill us all things, come and abide in us, cleanse us from every stain, and save our souls, O gracious Lord. It's the prayer we pray, in a sense, to call down the Holy Spirit before we start the service. And then from Pascha until the Ascension, we say the Triparia of the Resurrection. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. This is the one week throughout the year when we don't say either of those things. So it's kind of, even liturgically, it's kind of a different time. It's kind of a time in between in which we commemorate that the Son has left, he's ascended into heaven, but the Holy Spirit has not yet been given. So we commemorate that, and then we're also remembering the fathers of the First Ecumenical Council. I mentioned this last night, I spoke a little bit about this last night, that this First Ecumenical Council, the heresy, the reason that all these councils came about because there was someone teaching something that was different from what had been taught before. And the heresy that was being taught was Arianism. Arius was a very, very charismatic preacher who taught that there was a time when the Son was not, that he was a creature, that God the Father created him prior to creating anything else. We still have this today in Jehovah's Witnesses. They do not recognize Christ as on the same level as God the Father. But so anyway, so we have this time in which this heresy was very, very popular. As I mentioned last night, it wasn't clear that orthodoxy was going to win the day. It wasn't clear what the outcome of the council was going to be before they came to the council. And then they came to the council and the Holy Spirit led the 318 fathers. And, well, we know what happened. We have the Nicene Creed, the first part of the creed that we read each week came from this council. But here's the thing, is that while this week liturgically is a little bit strange and it's a time when we remember the apostles being in that kind of time in between when the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured on them and Christ had left, and we commemorate that time when the future of the church was a little bit in question, we recognize that we all live in that tension. We all live in that same tension that the apostles felt when Christ had left and the Holy Spirit had not yet come, and we all live in that tension of a time when things are kind of in question. We look around at our society today and we see that things are in question, but if we study history, we see that it's always been that way. See, Christ tells us that the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is within you. So we know that the kingdom of God is here, but it's not yet here in its fullness. We've not yet attained the kingdom which he has promised us in its fullness. Instead, we live in that tension of it has come, we have been baptized and chrismated, we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. So we have this gift of being a part of the kingdom, but yet we're not fully a part of the kingdom. And that's the tension that we live in. And it's actually not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing that we can use to glorify our God. That's what Christ talks about throughout the prayer that he prays in the Gospel of John. It says, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee, since thou hast given him power over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, Father, glorify thou me in thine own presence with the glory which I had with thee before the world was made. Christ is glorified by his death and his resurrection on earth. We recognize that. But now that he has ascended, and now that the Holy Spirit has come, although we're not celebrating that this week, we're celebrating that next week, we now live in that time in which, like I said, it's in between. The glory is not fully manifest, but the glory is here. And we give glory to Christ and to his Father and to the all-Holy Spirit. And we recognize that that glory is seen by the world through us, and that we have that opportunity to manifest that glory. And that's the wonderful thing. That's the wonderful thing about this time in between, is the fact that Christ loved us so much that not only did he show us the glory that he has and promise us an even fuller glory when we come into his kingdom, but he's given us the great privilege of being the ones who can manifest that glory to a world around us that's so hurting and so in need of that. And so that's my prayer this week, is that we seek in all of our interactions, in all of our lives, in everything that we do it not for praise for us, not so that we may have the glory, but so that Christ may be glorified, and through that the whole Holy Trinity may be glorified, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God.